much. I would say some words on Africa also. Just positive note. South Africa government react and made a statement just after the bill was adopted in Uganda, which was very good news for us because South Africa was working with us through multilateral institution 3 years ago to adopt a resolution on LGBT Act. So we were waiting for the South African reaction. And there was also a reaction from Desmond Tutu. And that's very, very important. Desmond Tutu. But I will speak about LGBTI guidelines, and then I will speak a little bit about the challenge, which are very important. But first, thank you very much for the invitation. I will speak from the perspective of the European External Action Service. So my focus will logically be on the EU external actions based upon the LGBTI guidelines. I would like to cover the period, since you would like to cover the period 2009-2019, I will start by looking back a little bit, then describe the current EU guidelines, and then conclude by looking at some challenges ahead. Looking back first, during this past year, the EU position based on international law has been clear, based upon the principle of universality of human rights. To be more specific, when speaking about the right of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex persons, we have always made it clear that it is not about introducing new or different rights for one group of people. It is about the same human rights being applied to every person, everywhere, without discrimination. These rights include the right to life, the freedom from torture, equality before the law, right to privacy, freedom of association, freedom of assembly, freedom of expression, right to work, and the right to health. A better protection of those rights in relation to LGBTI persons has moved higher and higher on the agenda of the EU over the past years. In 2010, the Working Party of Human Rights Cohort from the Council adopted a toolkit to promote and protect the enjoyment of LGBT people, LGBT toolkit. A new practical manual was born, not only describing the legal framework, including international obligations, but also providing for clear and coordinated action. The aim was to react proactively to violation of the human rights of the LGBT people and to address structural cause behind this violation. In the meantime, behind the scenes, the member states, via quorum, and the newborn EES worked on further improving the toolkit together with the European Parliament, not in the last place, the LGBT intergroup, and with civil society organizations, among which ILGA also are present today. We work closely together with the civil society and to improve the guideline for some months and then with the intergroup. What about the guidelines? On 24 June 2013, the Foreign Affairs Council adopted the EU guidelines to promote and protect the enjoyment of all human rights by lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex persons, LGBTI guidelines. The fact that the toolkit became guidelines endorsed by the foreign minister of the EU has important symbolic significance. They were well received by both Parliament and civil society. The guidelines are more elaborate and more practical at the same time. Let me give you a short sum-up of its content. The four priority areas are decriminalization and combating discriminatory laws and policy. More than 80 states criminalize consenting same-sex relations, and some even with death penalty. The second area is promoting equality and non-discrimination. This is a basic principle of the ICCPR. Third, combating LGBTI-phobic violence. That means combating hate speech. Support and protection for human rights defenders through our EU delegation in the world, on the ground, and through the instrument EIDHR. The EU guidelines provide for concrete action of which I want to mention. First, demarche by the EU delegation called quiet diplomacy, but if necessary, with press statements. Second, high representative statements, so an official reaction from Catherine Ashton, widely distribute and hand over to local authorities. Raising LGBTI rights in the political dialogues and human rights dialogue with third countries. That means Article 8, Cotonou Agreement, but also human rights dialogue with third countries when we raise the LGBTI rights. Supporting civil society through the European Instrument for Democracy and Human Rights. You might have read the High Representative Statement on LGBTI in 2013 on Cameroon, India, and on the Russian anti-propaganda law. This year's statements include Nigeria in January 2014, Uganda February 2014, and yesterday, the statement. It's a statement of the European, of Catherine Ashton on behalf of the European Union. What are the challenges now? This example of Russia, Nigeria and Uganda bring me to my third and last point, looking at the implementation of the EU guidelines and the challenge both now and in the near future. We still have in mind, we should remember, the EU is committed to the principle of universality of human rights and is of the opinion that cultural, traditional or religious values cannot be invoked to justify any form of discrimination, including discrimination against LGBTI persons. These laws against homosexuality are, in our view, elements of a global trend of shrinking space for civil societies. These laws restrict basic freedoms such as association, the right of free speech, and the right to privacy. And if we don't pay attention, a shrinking space of civil society will start with homosexuality and then could continue with the right of women. We should be very careful because it's a trend. Mm-hmm. So the challenge now, what is the challenge now? Is using the right tools in an appropriate way. Quiet diplomacy, for example, is a powerful, effective, can be an effective tool. But this is has disadvantage that it is invisible for the wider public and local LGBTI NGO. In other case, we need to speak out loud with statements, such as the statement published yesterday. And when local human rights defenders need our support, we can provide emergency support from the EIDHR. I just would like to indicate that there's no one-size-fits-all. It's about finding the right mix of tools and actions. In this constant process, we need the interaction between the European Parliament and its LGBT intergroup, and the EU institutions, the EU delegation, and of course civil society. That's why events like today's discussion are so important. Thank you very much.